Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's Heritage Happenings brought to you by St. Vincent College here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net.
Greetings, Westmoreland County. My name is Jessica Petrovich, and I am your Westmoreland Heritage Director and host of Heritage Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favorite streaming services. Please check out Westmoreland Heritage at westmorelandheritage.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for updates on cultural and historical events throughout Westmoreland County. We have a great show planned for you today. We'll be hearing from the Westmoreland Museum of American Art, the Westmoreland Historical Society, and La Trobe Arts Center. Our first guest, Barbara Jones, Chief Curator of the Westmoreland Museum of American Art, is on call with us this morning. Barbara, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, you're welcome, Jessica. I'm really happy to be here and talk about this exhibition.
Well, the current featured exhibition at the Westmoreland, which I am so excited to see, is entitled Simple Pleasures, The Art of Doris Lee. And Barbara, you co-curated this exhibition. Could you share some of the planning process behind all these excellent selections?
Yes, I can. It was a major endeavor. I worked with a co-curator from the St. Louis Art Museum, Melissa Wolf, and she had been working on the artist Doris Lee for a very long time. And so she had wanted to do this exhibition earlier when she was at the Columbus Museum of Art in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we took on the organization, I asked her if she would be the co-curator. And so we selected 76 works of art, 22 objects for the display cases from 58 lenders from 25 states.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
It was a major endeavor, and we had so much support from people around the country, from California to Vermont, Oregon to Florida. I mean, you name it, all
wow.
the states in between. So, yeah, it's been pretty fabulous. And we extended the exhibition because of COVID, of course. It was, it was supposed to open in 2020, really to coincide with the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. But obviously that didn't work out. So now we're very happy to have it here with us now.
And I didn't realize the geographic range of where all of these objects and pieces were coming from. So really, when guests visit the Westmoreland, you're going to see objects and beautiful portraits from, you know, everywhere in the country, all coming together.
You are, and they are. And the beauty of this exhibition is there are a lot of really great collections, other institutions that lent to us, like the Art Institute of Chicago, Rhode Island School of Design, you know, the University Museum in Arizona. But we have so many from private collectors in the show, and so that's what makes it really unique. These works have been in private collections for many years, and the public doesn't have often the opportunity to see them. So
okay.
So we're excited to bring things by Doris Lee that people might not see, you know, as they walk into a museum.
And I am intrigued by, if you go on the Westmoreland's website, thewestmoreland.org, there is a preview image entitled Thanksgiving,
yes.
which is one of Doris Lee's paintings. It's a 1935 oil on canvas piece. And again, you can go to their website to see this preview. And it's very appropriate for this time of year. And Barbara, I just want to ask you, how does that work exemplify what guests can expect from Doris Lee's artistry in this exhibit?
Well, it's one of her earliest works in the exhibition, and it really is what put her on the national stage in 1935. She created this painting for the Art Institute of Chicago, and they've been a fabulous partner with us for a couple of years now, waiting for this exhibition to take place. So they're lending Thanksgiving, and we think of it as her most important painting because she did gain national attention, and the reason she gained national attention is because she won the Logan Prize for this painting in that annual exhibition in 1935, and the benefactress of the award, she didn't pick the painting to win the award, and she hated it.
Oh,
and she went into all the national newspapers and expressed her pleasure with this painting. And so, you know, even negative criticism threw Doris Lee on the national stage, and everybody got to know her and know her work. And she kind of took off from that point. But it is an early painting, and it shows her American scene or scenes of everyday life realism. But she moves through her artistic practice to abstraction. And so she follows, you know, all of the major stylistic tendencies in American art. She's very well aware, but she was also a collector of folk art. So her work combines, you know, the sort of abstract modernist tendencies with a sort of, you know, folk character about them, folk art character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that comes from her looking at her own collection. And there are many serious subjects, but they're also playful at the same time. And she really did take pleasure in the simple things. And you'll see that in, you know, her paintings, her still lives, some of the commercial objects that she created. So it really is fascinating. This is the first exhibition to look at her 40-year career. Wow. in its entirety. So you will see things that you really wouldn't expect coming from a fine artist, you know, like a picture puzzle, you know, mm-hmm. and playing cards and fabric design.
Oh,
so,
that's fascinating.
So yes, it's really wonderful. It's really wonderful to show her here.
And this exhibition will be going on the road after its stint at the Westmoreland. So again, that's
yes.
Simple Pleasures, The Art of Doris Lee, this exhibition. How can members of the public go about viewing it while it is at the Westmoreland? And also, there is a catalog for sale, I've been told, of this
there
exhibition.
Is.
Okay.
So they can see it here until January 9th. And then those of your listeners that are going to be in Iowa can look at it at the Viggy Art Museum in Davenport from February 5th to May 8th. Then it goes to Florida to the Vero Beach Museum of Art, and then on to Memphis, Tennessee to
wow.
Dixon Gallery and Garden. So we're allowing, you know, a broader reach of her work and broader recognition to show really her contribution, because she faded away from the public eye. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's mm-hmm. and in the 1960s, when she didn't pass away until 1983, but she essentially slipped from the public eye. And there is a catalog, 240 pages. It's available through our museum shop, the westmorelandmuseumshop.com, online, or through, you know, coming here to the museum to purchase it.
Oh, wonderful. And so there's also a piece to take home if you're especially struck by this exhibition.
Well, there's great pieces to take home, because our shop manager created a lot of products to accompany this exhibition.
Oh,
so you'll
wonderful.
See, you know, ornaments and puzzles and, you know, magnets and note cards and you name it. There's so much here for everybody to look at. And it's a great, you know, they're great gifts, because they're really fun.
Get a
images.
Jump on the holiday shopping.
Absolutely. That's what I say.
And Barbara, thank you so much. Is there anything else to share from the Westmoreland Museum coming up in the near future?
Well, I would like to really acknowledge our funders for this exhibition, because, as you know, it was a major undertaking.
Yes.
So if I could just name them: the Henry Luce Foundation, the Barry A. and Dee Dee Wigmore Foundation, Richard C. Von Hess Foundation, mm-hmm. National Endowment for the Arts, the Fine Foundation, and the Hillman Exhibition Fund of the Westmoreland Museum
wow.
of American Art.
It takes a village.
So it was. It takes a village to do it. But we do have other exhibitions right now in our Robert Shaw Gallery. I think your listeners really enjoy Michael Max Mazorchak, Receding Artist, but they are all his landscapes of southwestern Pennsylvania, and they're all really pretty much fall season, so they fit right into
lovely.
This particular period. And then we have coming up Charlie Brodsky, The Audacity of the Mundane, and she is showing her still life photographs. So those are the next two exhibitions in the Robert Shaw Gallery. But we have so many great programs associated with this exhibition. So really, if listeners can go to our website and see them all, there's a culinary event. There's I'm having a conversation with my co-curator on October 28th. We're having an American Dream Dinner on November 6th. We have a history connections with the Harvey House and the Old Lincoln Highway on November 18th, because Doris did illustrations for the Harvey House menus, and that's something I think people don't ever get a chance to see. So really exciting things happening here, and all of it's available on our website, thewestmoreland.org.
And Barbara, thank you so much. There's just always something happening at the Westmoreland, and I appreciate your time this morning.
You're very welcome. Thanks for sharing it with your listeners.
Please check out the Westmoreland Museum of American Art at thewestmoreland.org, and you can also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organizations. I'm Jessica Petrovich. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our next guest, Pam Curtin, Education and Interpretation Manager at the Westmoreland Historical Society, is on call with us right now. Pam, thank you so much, and to your sweet cat that I can hear, for joining us today. It's so cute.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm really excited to talk to you about the current exhibition running at the Westmoreland Historical Society. It is entitled Penn's Woods, Plenty for the Use of Man. And this highlights the local and regional history of woodworking and carpentry. Pam, could you tell us what inspired this exhibition?
Sure. We had a few sources of inspiration. One was from our board member, Bob Kendra, who is a collector of historic tools. He has quite an extensive collection. And we wanted to pair these tools with finished products like furniture. And we also wanted to use these tools to tell stories about early crafts in Westmoreland County. Carpentry, casting, wheel making, and how these crafts were made possible by Pennsylvania's expansive forests. And we work with other museums like the IUP Department of Archaeology and Meadowcroft to discuss Native American woodworking, the Leaner Valley Railroad Association to explore the history of logging and the use of railroads, and the St. Vincent Arch Abbey and College Archives to showcase the monks' tradition of woodworking as well. So we really wanted to partner with a lot of different organizations in the area. And we're also happy to showcase the work of modern artists, including painters like John Buxton and Robert Griffin, whose work illustrates Native Americans and early European settlers. We really wanted to incorporate a lot of their work in the exhibit to complement the artifacts and the documents that we have. Mm-hmm. And we also wanted to showcase the work of contemporary woodworkers in Westmoreland County, like Paul Sarofchuk and Matt Stein, who carry on those traditions, some of which are, you know, recreating historic types of furniture like the Windsor chair, or taking a more contemporary approach.
Mm.
And we'll actually be hosting a program featuring collector Bob Kendra on Saturday, November 6th. And so he'll have a chance to talk a little bit more about his work in collecting and kind of give a broader history of tools and trades in America.
Well, I love that this exhibit spans quite literally hundreds of years of artistry.
Yes.
And it's so amazing what the Historical Society has been able to gather. And I love, as you're listing out all of these contributing partners, I mean, it's really, we just heard from the Westmoreland Museum of American Art, and it's the same thing, just all of these organizations coming together to create a really, really special exhibition. So listeners, this is not one to miss.
Yes,
at
and
the
actually
Historical Society.
Sure. And we actually did feature some paintings from the Westmoreland.
Oh, amazing.
We worked with some other nonprofit organizations like the American Chestnut Association to talk more about the history of like the forest as well. And so yes, we did have the chance to partner with a lot of different organizations, which was really nice.
And visiting the Historical Society for this exhibition, when can you remind me the dates that it's running?
Sure. So it'll run in through next year as well. You are welcome to come visit during our open hours. Right now, that is Thursday through Saturday from 10:30 to 4:30, and Sunday from 12:30 to 4:30. And we'll have winter hours that will start in January. But if you're able to just check our website or give us a call for the most updated hours of information, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned an event on November 6th, and that features Bob Kendra, who contributed many works to this exhibition. Are you able to talk about that event a little bit more?
Sure. So this is a presentation on the tools and trades of early America. So he will be talking about some of those main trades and tools, and then we'll go into the exhibit gallery and take a closer look at some of the things on display. What's really interesting is that he knows a lot about how these different tools actually work. And so we're able to kind of get little demonstrations, and that's always really interesting.
Oh, wow.
And he's able, and he knows the history of where they all came from. And so you can get, it's a nice complement to the actual exhibit, because you're able to get a little bit more of an in-depth look at things.
And to attend that event, I assume we can go to westmorelandhistory.org. Is there a good phone number to call?
Yes, if you're interested, our phone number is 724-836-1800, and you can call extension 210 to make reservations.
Excellent. So this exhibition coming up just is really, really special, and I want to spend as much time on it as possible. But since we have limited time, I would also like to talk about some of my favorite events of the year that Westmoreland Historical Society has annually. So Pam, if you could give us the details, I'm getting thrilled talking about this now, for your fall and winter events, including the jack-o'-lantern tours, 3 centuries of Christmas, you have some family days, lots of fun stuff going on.
Thank you. Yes, I always look forward to this time of year too, because the fall and winter programs are so much fun. So our first big upcoming event is a fall family day on Saturday, October 30th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we'll be celebrating fall and the Halloween season with living history demonstrations by Proctor's Militia, textile demonstrations from the Loyal Hand and Spinners thing at our blacksmith shop. And this is great for all ages, but we do have some special activities for children, including treat bags, story time, pumpkin decorating, and hay rides. And dressing up in costume is encouraged, because there will be trick-or-treating opportunities around the historic site as well.
Oh, I love it.
And so that's our day program. Yes, for sure. And so that's our program during the day. And then on Friday, October 29th, and Saturday, have our jack-o'-lantern tours in the evening. So this is a special tour of historic Hannistown that features reenactors and stories from history, looking at the Scots-Irish origins of Halloween and what frightens people in the 18th century. And so these tours begin at 6, 6:30, and 7 p.m., and it's a lot of fun to see the site at night. We put out jack-o'-lanterns and candles and walk you through the historic site, and so that's always a lot of fun too. And then we'll be very soon transitioning into the holiday season.
Yes.
And we'll have our candlelight open house on Thursday, November 4th, which is a free after hours open house to kick off the holiday season, featuring sales at our shop, drinks, snacks, and admission to our exhibit, Penn's Woods. And then on the first two Saturdays of December, we will have our 3 centuries of Christmas program, which is special tours of historic Hannistown, looking at how Christmas traditions have changed over the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. And these tours begin at 10:30, 11:30, and 1 p.m. And then we will end our year with our holiday family day on Wednesday, December 29th, which will feature winter crafts, holiday cookie decorating, a holiday-themed story time, and so much more. And so if you're interested in any of these programs, they are listed on our website, and there are actually a couple more little programs featured on the website as well. And more details will be forthcoming. Some of the events, like the jack-o'-lantern tours and the 3 centuries of Christmas program, the space is limited, and so we are asking for advanced registration. Mm-hmm. And so if you're interested, we do highly recommend you give a call soon for either of these programs, because they do fill up pretty quickly. And
yes,
again, you can call us at 724-836-1800, extension 210, to make your reservation.
Oh, Pam, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, too.
Of course. So please check out all of the amazing events and the current exhibition of Penn's Woods, Plenty for the Use of Man, at the Westmoreland Historical Society. You can find more information at westmorelandhistory.org and on Twitter and Instagram. This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organizations. I'm Jessica Petrovich. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our third guest, Michael Tousey, Executive Director of La Trobe Arts Center, is on call with us today. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, La Trobe Arts Center is closing out 2021 with a full array of great classes for people to enjoy. Michael, if you could give us a rundown of all of your offered courses and then how folks can go about joining in the fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout the rest of basically the fall and winter months here at the Art Center, we have a variety of classes for older youth and adult ages that include our oil painting classes with local renowned artist Dorian Curry.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a mixed media class being held led by local artist Sue Rubis, some watercolor classes. We also have our last class in our new beaded bracelet bonanza happening actually in a few weeks. The last class is being held Tuesday, November 9th. So that's coming up pretty quickly. And then for kids, we also have two fun classes. One of them is our Halloween celebration craft class that will be Saturday, October 23rd from 10:30 to 12. And then our Santa's Reindeer Holiday Party being held Saturday, December 11th from 11 to 1 here at the Art Center. In both of those classes, kids will have fun painting or, you know, creating their own Halloween and Christmas related projects,
mm-hmm.
Followed by a scavenger hunt in the Art Center. And then our Christmas one also includes a pizza lunch and a sweet treat. So definitely I encourage you to check out our website, latropeartcenter.org/class schedule, or you could just go to our homepage to access that information and register in advance.
I am jealous. I miss the days of pizza lunches and parties. That sounds amazing. And I love the variety of classes in the different mediums offered. You know, we have the oil paintings, we have the mixed media, and then, of course, the bracelet bonanza. It's always, I'm not sure if folks realize the variety of these courses that you can take at the Art Center.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually do have one other class that's pretty new to us,
mm-hmm.
That's not focused specifically on the visual arts.
Oh, okay.
It's a four-week meditation and journaling experience called Reflect and Write.
Reflect and Write, you said?
Yeah, Reflect and Write.
Okay.
So the instructor for that course will lead a... So each session in this four-week course will begin with a walking meditation through the art gallery, and then afterwards, the participants will practice a variety of guided and self-directed breath work, sitting meditation, and journaling. So that should be pretty cool as well, and it's definitely something different for us, but it does encompass, a different type of art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that completely new course. So make sure those of you listening keep up with all these new events and happenings at the La Trobe Arts Center. And you never know what you're going to find to take. And one of the more anticipated events in the upcoming winter season is Holly Jolly Christmas in downtown La Trobe. I know it feels early, but it's going to be upon us before we know it. So, Michael, what is in store for that event this year?
So this year, we've decided to sort of combine our schedule from 2020 with our traditional schedule, which used to just be a one-day affair.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this year, Holly Jolly Christmas in La Trobe will start on Thursday, December 2nd, and end on Saturday, December 4th. So activities are still being planned and worked out for the 2nd and 3rd, that Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping to have activities primarily for adults and to encourage people to come out and support our small businesses and merchants in downtown La Trobe.
Yes.
But the events on Saturday, December 4th, will look very similar to years past and what we traditionally have held here in La Trobe, which includes our Santa party in the park, of course, with Santa, down in the park, greeting kids and, taking pictures and taking their little Christmas requests.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have Mrs. Claus in town as well. She'll be in downtown La Trobe in the Art Center reading to kids. We'll have a bunch of other children's activities and crafts, food vendors, live music and entertainment all throughout the day on that Saturday. Vendors from La Trobe Farmers Market and some other craftsmen and artisans as well.
And this is all so beautiful in the spirit of the upcoming season. And Michael, I'm going to just kind of emphasize one point that you mentioned. So supporting these local small businesses, and especially this year, you know, we're all hearing these supply chain rumors that it's going to be impossible to get things from those big box stores. So this year, of course, now more than ever, it's always important. But, you know, in the wake of 2020 and now when we want to be able to access these gifts right away, what a perfect time to support our small businesses and our downtowns. And I know that the Art Center and several other downtown La Trobe vendors have been running these monthly shop hop nights, which occur on, I think it's the first Wednesday of the month. Is that correct?
Yes. And that's a perfect segue into what I wanted to bring up for our November shop hop, which is actually the final shop hop of the year.
Oh, perfect.
Because Holly Jolly Christmas in La Trobe sort of takes the place of a standalone December shop hop.
Okay.
So
yes.
Definitely I encourage people to come to La Trobe on Wednesday, November 3rd. That's our November shop hop, and it will be a Fall Fest pie walk.
Ooh.
So all of the participating merchant locations will have a different flavor pie or a different type of pie.
Yum.
And every person who purchases a ticket, so this is actually our first shop hop that's also a ticketed event. It's only $5 per person, but every person who purchases one of those $5 tickets will be entitled to a piece of pie at every single participating merchant location.
So oh, my goodness.
I think 12 merchants participating.
Wow. Well, it's going to be the festive downtown event of the season to
absolutely
get your fill of different pies. And you can find information on the shop hops. I believe on Facebook, there are usually events shared there.
Yes. Yeah. The La Trobe Shop Hop Nights has its own Facebook page. So if you just search for La Trobe Shop Hop Nights on Facebook, you'll be able to find the event actually starting today.
Oh, perfect. Well, and this is the perfect wrap up here. Michael, thank you so much for your time. Make sure to check out all of the different classes that La Trobe Art Center is offering and stay in tuned with the latest seasonal events as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica.
All right, please check out La Trobe Art Center at latrobeartcenter.org, and you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's all we have time for today. Be sure to stay safe and healthy. Take some time to visit and enjoy our Westmoreland County cultural and historic sites and events. And of course, be sure to check out St. Vincent College and all of its recent accomplishments. Follow Westmoreland Heritage on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check out all of our information on westmorelandheritage.org. This has been Jessica Petrovich, your Westmoreland Heritage Director and host for Heritage Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favorite streaming services. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Until next time.
How will your college experience transform you? How will you learn to make a difference in your life and the lives of others? At St. Vincent College, we attract high-achieving students who quite naturally place we ahead of me. A small college like St. Vincent gives you more access to the opportunities that will shape your future.
At St. Vincent College, we succeed. Together.
Together.
Discover the power of we. Learn more now at stvincent.edu.